synthesized, which means to make Christianity Chinese, an orchestrated campaign directed by the central government.
Churches are under siege in China. It's Wednesday, January 16th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We invite you to stop by Facebook and visit VOA Asia. Also ahead, Canada, upset over Chinese death penalty verdict. Canadian detainees remain under Chinese investigation. A cheaper iPhone is offered in China. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China is cracking down on Christianity. Reports out of the country say hundreds of unofficial house churches have been affected by some of them being shut down. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke with Xi Lian, professor of world Christianity at the Duke University Divinity School. Lian said the Chinese government started an organized campaign in 2014, forcibly removing more than 2,000 crosses from churches. He said the campaign intensified last year in 2018 when the government wrote out new regulations aimed at controlling church activities. Melman asked Professor Lian about the reasons behind the crackdown.
I think it has to do with the current regime under Xi Jinping to tighten its control of religion, because it's always had a deep distrust of religion and its potential subversiveness in the eyes of the state. So you can see that as a retreat from the more liberal policies since the early days of the Deng Xiaoping era, since the early 1980s. But you can also see it in another sense as the government reverting back to its avowed hostility toward religion, particularly Christianity, because of its Western ties. They have closed down a 1,500-member church, independent church, Zion Church in Beijing. They have closed down other major independent churches across the country, most notably last month in December, early December. They closed down the Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu. That's another independent church. But it is really hard to say what the government has done is to possibly to stir up a new level of religious devotion and zeal because of its very act of harsh repression.
How many Christians are there in China, and how strong is that organized church movement in China?
My personal estimate is that we are possibly talking about 60 million Protestants. And then we have also maybe just over 10 million Catholics, and that also includes both the official and the unofficial churches.
Professor Xi Lian of the Duke University Divinity School speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. The crackdown against Christians in China comes at about the same time that an estimated 1 million Muslim Uyghurs have been forcibly moved from their homes into Chinese-run re-education centers. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Made in China 2025 feels trade war pinch. Huawei founder says company would not share user secrets. Hastily approved Thai marijuana patent causes outrage. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has accused China of using the death penalty arbitrarily after a Chinese court sentenced a Canadian man to be executed for drug smuggling. Reuters' Michelle Hennessy reports.
China's sentencing of a Canadian national to death on Monday has drawn heavy criticism from Canada. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau blasted Beijing for the conviction of Robert Lloyd Schellenberg on drug offences. It's dealt a further blow to already icy relations between the two sides.
But I will say it is of extreme concern to us as a government, as it should be to all our international friends and allies, that China has chosen to begin to arbitrarily apply death penalty in cases facing a Canadian.
State television showed Schellenberg in court, where prosecutors claimed he was involved in organized international drug crimes. He's accused of attempting to smuggle nearly 490 pounds of methamphetamine out of China in 2014. Schellenberg claims he was framed. His lawyer says he's likely to appeal the ruling. Late on Monday, Canada's foreign ministry updated its travel advisory for China, warning citizens about the, quote, arbitrary enforcement of local law. Ties between China and Canada turned sour last year after the arrest of Meng Wanzhou, an executive of Chinese tech giant Huawei, at the request of the United States. U.S. authorities allege Meng deceived international banks into clearing transactions with Iran. China's subsequent detention of two Canadians was labelled as a tit-for-tat reprisal by Western diplomats, though Beijing has never drawn a direct link between the cases and Meng's arrest.
Meanwhile, China issued an advisory to its citizens urging them to fully assess the risks of travel to Canada. After a Chinese executive was arrested in the North American country, China's foreign ministry saying Canada recently arbitrarily detained a Chinese national. It's a reference to Chinese executive Meng Wanzhou. The travel advisory is the latest sign of escalating tensions between Canada and China. And as mentioned, two Canadian citizens were detained in China after Meng's arrest. Foreign ministry spokesman Liu Kang said Canadian citizens Michael Kovrig, a diplomat on leave to work for the International Crisis Group, and Michael Spaver, a businessman who arranged tours to North Korea, are suspected of engaging in activities that endanger the national security of the People's Republic of China. Liu said enforcement action was taken against both of them on December 10th. He said their legal rights are being protected and Ottawa has been informed. The investigations follow the December 1st arrest of Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver as Canadian authorities acted on an extradition request from the United States over alleged sanctions violations. She was released on bail by a Canadian judge. President Donald Trump had indicated he would be prepared to intervene in the Meng case if it would help resolve a trade dispute with China. Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland said the extradition process should not be politicized. University of Toronto political science professor Nelson Wiseman tells VOA's Victor Beattie that there's a distinction between the way the Canadian authorities are treating Meng and the way the cases of the two Canadians are being handled.
Canada has provided consular access to the detained CFO of Huawei, and now Canada's also warning other Canadians, be cautious about going there. So do we want to get into a situation where the Chinese are now going to, in effect, detain or kidnap an American executive or an American diplomatic official because they don't like what's going on now?
This could potentially jeopardize China's relations with other countries.
And this is something for the Chinese and other countries to speak. But the Chinese held for a couple of years a Canadian couple. The woman actually was released a little sooner because they were unhappy a couple of years ago that Canada extradited one of their nationals to the United States. This couple was simply running a restaurant in China near the North Korean border and charged ludicrously with, you know, as if they were espionage agents. And this was also a way of signaling to Canada, no, no, don't do the U.S. bidding. And Canada hasn't. But if the American president makes the comments that he's been making, suggesting, you know, this really isn't about the legal system, it's really about negotiating a better trade deal, then perhaps we have to discount future requests from the American government when you've got, you know, people who are alleged to be criminals coming to Canada, and then you find out, well, hold it, is there really a crime here?
Meng Wanzhou, the CFO of Huawei, who was arrested December 1st, has been released on bail. Do you expect that to change China's pressure on Canada?
No, I don't. It might improve the situation of the diplomat who's being held. If they feel they've been punched by one fist, they come back with two or three or four fists. You know, this is the style. So I'm not sure this executive being released on bail is going to improve the situation, because from the Chinese perspective, they still see this as some sort of illegal kidnapping rather than the legal system simply working its way out.
The state-run Global Times has called on Canada to distance itself from U.S. hegemonism and grant an unconditional release to Meng as a way to maintain international order and protect human rights. It warned if Canada fails to protect the safety of Chinese citizens within its territory and ignores ties with China, it's bound to pay for it. Coming up, Apple phones get a price reduction in China. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia. China exchanged data with NASA on its recent mission to land a Chinese spacecraft on the far side of the moon, according to the Chinese Space Agency, in what was reportedly the first such collaboration since an American law banned joint space projects with China that do not have prior congressional approval. We share all the big stories with you every day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, lower iPhone prices and the bid for more investment in China are the topics of today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Skylar Ogden.
The latest iPhone model price has dropped by about $207 in some places in China. The price cut comes because of Apple's unexpected low sales in the country. Chou Liang is the owner of an electronics store.
People's Apple craze is on the wane, so we have to lower the price to ensure sales.
Various Chinese e-commerce platforms have also launched price reduction strategies to promote sales. On Suning and Tmall online platforms, some iPhones are more than $300 cheaper than on Apple's official website. Another e-commerce company, Jingdong, offers the 64G iPhone 8 and 8 Plus for over $100 less than it used to. Still, some Chinese consumers say the price drop isn't enough. A local Chinese resident.
The price drop is far from enough. I think it should be reduced by at least 30%. Then it would be a worthy price. The original price is too high.
China is Apple's third largest market, with billions of dollars of revenue coming from iPhone sales in the country. Analysts say the price drop is a sign that trade tensions with the U.S. and volatility in global markets are slowing down the Chinese economy. China is taking steps to attract more foreign investment in 2019. Commerce Minister Chong Shan said the country wants to broaden opportunities for private firms and foreign investors.
In 2019, we have three priorities in ensuring stable foreign investment. The first is to open more areas, continue to shorten the negative list, ease restrictions on market access, and allow wholly foreign ownership in more areas. The second is to work harder to attract foreign investments, implement the State Council's 23 measures on utilizing foreign capital, and materialize major projects. The third is to build new highlands for opening up, support the expansion of the Shanghai Pilot Free Trade Zone, and explore the construction of the Hainan Free Trade Port.
China's foreign direct investment rose by 3% between 2017 and 2018. Its efforts to build on that trend come against the backdrop of a slowing economy, weakening domestic demand, and the U.S. trade war. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Skylar Ogden.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. If you happen to miss any or part of our program, the full-length programs are all there for you to hear, download, whatever you like. You can also get them from iTunes and SoundCloud. You can also hear us on the radio, Chiang Mai University Radio, FM 100, at Chiang Mai University in Thailand. We say hello to everyone there who is listening today. Thank you for tuning in. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, and engineer, John Ellison, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're all in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.